What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Morning, good morning, all you beautiful lot. How is everybody feeling today? It is another Tuesday and we are back in the house ready for another fabulous show. If you're new here, hello, I am Gabby Allen and I love all things health, wellness, fitness, you name it. I'm a fitness coach and a good time gal who likes to chat, and that is why we are here. So the beauty of this show is that the health and wellness umbrella can be put, can put loads of things underneath it. So we can have the obvious ones like fitness, sports, nutrition, mental health, but the umbrella can also cover things like skincare, self-love, sobriety, oral health, and the list goes on. So what do we have on today's show then? Later, I'm going to be speaking to Adam Maxted, who is a professional wrestler and a fellow Love Island contestant, oy oy, and Becky XL, an amazing gluten-free food content creator. But first up, we have the Sleep Geek. Please welcome to the studio, well, Zoom, James Wilson, a.k.a. the Sleep Geek. Hello, can you hear me? Hello. Oh, is he there? I think he's just finding me. Hello, James, can you hear me? Testing, testing, 1, 2. Can you hear me? Can you see
Hello?
Me? Oh, here he is. Hello, mate, how are you?
I'm very good, how are you?
I'm great. How are you feeling on this wonderful morning? Did you have a good sleep?
I did last night, actually. I did have a good sleep.
Oh, where are you from?
I'm in Wakefield. I'm from...
Northern. Yeah. I'm from Liverpool, so us Northerners stick together. So I'm very excited to speak to you today, because I wish I was a sleep geek. My sleep is terrible. I'm trying to get better at it. I'm doing like some bits of meditation here and there, and I'm just really excited to hear from you today and find out how you can help me, not just me, everybody else. So how did you get into helping people improve their sleep?
So I am I'm a poor sleeper myself. Genetically, we are predisposed to poor sleep, some of us, and I am one of those people. Always struggled to sleep in my teenage years as I moved into work. Problem for me were my family made mattresses. And being a poor sleeper and selling mattresses was not a good
look. Oh, no.
So I'm an employed sleep expert in the company, the family business. And he wasn't very nice. He was a bit of a dipstick. So I thought, I can do this better, because he told me it was my fault and I wasn't trying hard enough. And so I started that journey of, I first of all, trained as a kid sleep practitioner, worked a lot with teenagers.
Right.
And then moved on to working with corporates and sports teams. So I work a lot with people and organisations and sports teams now.
Okay, amazing. So what I find is that what you just said there is you're not trying hard enough. I find the harder I try to sleep better, the worse it gets, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's one of the big misconceptions of sleep. And I think often we compare it to nutrition or we compare it to exercise. And I work with like really high performing people a lot of the time. And we're taught as high performers, work harder, get better. And the thing with sleep is the harder you try, the worse it gets.
Honestly.
Because it's sleep, something that needs to come to you. You need to set the right physiological conditions, which is a drop in heart rate. You need to be relaxed. And a drop in core temperature. You need to be slightly cooler. And you need to be working in line with your body's natural rhythm. So we hear about owls and we hear about larks. But actually, see those things as two points on a line. And we all sit on that line somewhere. And a lot of people, I think, particularly at the moment, a lot of my work, is people who are actually maybe trying to go to bed a bit too early and wake up a bit too early than their body's natural rhythm. And therefore, that's actually not a sleep problem. That's a sleep timing issue.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. I think I obsess over getting 8 hours sleep. And you know what it is? I feel like I need to be in the bed for 8 hours, because then it means that like I have the potential of having 8 hours, because apparently that's like optimal for sleep, optimal for performance and stuff. But sometimes it means that I'm kind of forcing myself to go to bed when I'm not really that tired. Like I'm doing my nighttime routine, or like I'm trying to get into like, you know, fall asleep. And then I get into bed and I'm like, so what am I going to do now then? You know?
And that is often the case. And I think some myths in there. Sleep need is not just about how much, it's about how good. And we really focus on a number, a magic number. Like you say, I have lots of people who say, James, need 8 hours sleep. And if I get 7 hours, 59 minutes and 59 seconds, that is appalling.
Terrible.
I have not succeeded there.
Yeah.
And actually, the better way of measuring sleep, and what some of the issues at the moment are like, say, for example, trackers, is something that is tracking our sleep is often quite inaccurate, but it's also creating this idea of perfection. And it's creating that if we hit this magic number, we'll be okay. And actually, sleep is more about a feeling. So it's how you are recovering and how you are working the next day. So when I'm working with this, or the athletes I work with, we ask three questions to work out how we met our sleep need. We ask how quickly did you fall asleep? So if you fall asleep within 5 minutes, a lot of people think that's really good, but actually that fall asleep like that, as soon as your head hits a pillow, that's a sign of sleep deprivation. That means you haven't met your sleep need in nights previous. More than 30 minutes, that's something else is wrong. You're going to bed at the wrong time, you're not winding down properly, you may have a touch of insomnia. The next question we ask is, how many times do you remember waking in the night? You wake up every single night 3 to 6 times. But when you sleep well, you don't remember it because you need to be awake for 5 minutes. So if you don't remember waking up at all, that's brilliant quality sleep. Once or twice, that's fine. More than three or more, I'd want to have a conversation. And the final question we ask is, how do you feel at 10, 11 in the morning? Because at 10, 11 in the morning, you should be at your most active. So if you are feeling quite alert now, if you talk to your man about sleep at that time, it might make you sleepy. That is a soporific conversation. But actually, till 11 in the morning, we should be at most alert. So if we have met our sleep need, we should feel okay at that time. And I think there's lots and lots of complications around sleep, lots of myths, lots of advice that kind of contradicts each other. But most people don't have that basic understanding of their sleep. And when we understand that and we take some pressure off, because when we take the stress out of sleep, we start to sleep better. And that's how I've got a lot better at sleep. And that's how the hundreds of thousands of people I work with get better at sleep.
So much information. Right, there's a few things I want to ask you there. So, first of all, the sleep trackers. So I used to have an Oura Ring, I had two and I lost them both, right? Classic me. But I was becoming obsessed with looking at my sleep, values. So my REM sleep was always terrible. And, you know, if I didn't have... It was always in the red zone, basically. And then I was getting more obsessed with it being crap, and it was making it worse. So what do you think about those sleep trackers then? You say they're inaccurate. So how inaccurate are they?
So you've described them something we call orthosomnia, which is where the idea of tracking sleep actually forces you to sleep worse. And most people I work with who track the sleep, we end up getting rid of the trackers and just ask ourselves that question. I would say, so inaccuracy-wise, you talked about REM sleep. REM sleep in a clinic is mostly measured around eye movement, because it's rapid eye movement sleep. So you measure it through, if you're in REM sleep, these parts of your head will twitch. An Oura Ring, which is actually probably the most accurate of the consumer trackers available, is not measuring that. And the best way I can put it is, you could ask a chocolate teapot how well you've slept, and it's probably about as informative as most sleep trackers. And the problem we've got is there's a lot of marketing out there about them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of celebrities using them, and particularly in those like high performance environments I work in, I've got footballers who are telling me that they're not sleeping well. And I can tell by looking at them sleeping okay, but the tracker's telling them they're not. Because often, bear in mind, these trackers, they have an app. They want you to come back to the app.
Exactly.
The way they make money is you keep coming back and you keep coming back. If they actually help you sleep better, you're not coming back.
So yeah.
I would argue that they're not that motivated in helping you solve your problem. And they're measuring sleep. They're not intervening. They're giving you some data and you don't have the context of that data. And that causes millions of us worldwide problems right
I'm
now.
I'm so glad that we've had this conversation, because you're going to save me another £400 now. I was going to go and buy another one because I was like, surely I need to be like tracking this, but clearly not. Okay, so with hopefully the summer months coming up, it's going to get warmer. So I already wake up like a few times in the night. I know that apparently that's good, not bad, depending on. Some days it's more, like 3 times. Some days it's more. Sometimes I lay awake thinking about, you know, is the world going to end at 3 o'clock in the morning, things like that. And then other days, like last night, I had really good sleep. So it's 11 a.m. and I feel bright, alert, and I'm excited to talk to you. But when it gets hot, it's hard to sleep, isn't it? So what is your advice for people trying to sleep when it's bloody roasting in the bedroom?
So also something we don't talk about a lot in sleep is there is a big difference between men and women, and one of those differences is the menstrual cycle and eventually perimenopause and menopause. During your menstrual cycle, for 2 of the 4 week cycle, you struggle to drop that core temperature. We talked about the start, two things you need to fall asleep: dropping heart rate, dropping core temperature. So like you look at the sleep world, like you read about sleep. How much is it mentioned? Actually, it's far harder for women to be able to meet the physiological conditions we need for sleep than it is for men. We don't talk about it. And temperature is so important to sleeping well. So I would say some things to think about. First of all, don't put anything in the freezer. You'll see this time of year, you'll read stuff online. Top three tips to sleep well in the heat, and one of them will be put your duvet in the freezer. Two problems with that.
Did he come out to do that? Yeah, Jesus.
How big's your freezer to get a duvet in? What else you got in your freezer if you can get rid of it and put your duvet in? But what happens is when you make something extremely cold just before bed, you're warm, it's a 30 degrees, 35 degrees, you're quite warm. You put something really cold on you just before bed. So I'm not saying
it's gonna wake you
during
up.
The day you can do what you want, but I'm talking about just before bed. What your body thinks is, wow, why on earth am I so cold? And it wakes up. You feel your adrenaline starts pump. You feel like a bit more alert.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. What you want is, the best thing I can sort of advise is, bath or shower warm, not hot, not freezing cold, warm. Or a bowl of water or a hot water bottle full of warm water. Put your bare feet in or on it. Because your feet are really important to your core temperature regulation. And if you can if you can gently cool your body as you would do when you fall asleep, that's more likely to give your body a chance to get to sleep. And I don't like sleep hacks, but that's the closest I can give you to a sleep hack right now.
For the warmer months, you put your feet on a warm water bottle.
In a hot water bottle full of warm water, and it helps drop your core temperature. Oh, so if you're watching TV before bed or you're doing something before bed, just that like half an hour before bed, it just helps drop your core temperature. Other things you can do, you can do the basics cover when the direct sunlight's on your room, close the blinds or curtains, get a bit of airflow when it's cooler in the day, so in the morning and in the evening. Have separate duvets. Now, if you share a duvet with a partner and you're warm already, what are they doing? They are making you hotter.
Yeah.
And hotter and hotter. So try a separate duvet. There are products out there like toppers that will help you manage your temperature. In terms of materials, things like bamboo, things like things like silk or wool or alpaca fleece are really good at managing body temperature. Steer clear of like foam mattresses. They'll claim that they'll help you cool. You'll see these mattresses.
They suck in all the heat, don't they?
Yeah, just keep all the heat, and they'll say they'll keep you cool. They might do for half an hour because they've got a bit of iron filings at the top of the mattress, but they're not going to keep you cool all night. And it's natural filling, springs, airflow. But the big thing I'd say is actually stop worrying about it. What we do is we wake up and go, I'm not going to sleep tonight. It's red hot. I won't sleep. 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 And guess what? You don't sleep. So a little bit, suck it up. Have an ice cream. In 3 days' time, it'll be raining. We live in the UK.
Love it. It's so true. Okay, on that then, I want to ask for a friend. If you are struggling to fall asleep and stay asleep, is it best to stay in the bed or get up, do something and go back to bed?
Help you sleep is all about nuance. And I think this is one of those things where the general advice is get out of the bedroom. The bedroom should just be for sleep. And the other thing is, a bit of a, how's your father?
Sex.
And that's it.
Shouldn't be doing anything else. Sexy time.
Now, actually, for some people, and this is my problem, I wake up in the middle of the night, still do from time to time, and I can't get back to sleep. And I used to do the thing where I'd go out the room. But actually, for me, going out the room, that says to my body, time to get up, James. Let's get up, because we're going downstairs. Let's get up. Let's start thinking about the world. So for a lot of people, actually, what we need to do at that point is reset our mind. If you get to about 15 minutes, 30 minutes without falling back to sleep, your mind's worrying. You start thinking about work, kids, relationships, embarrassment, all those things. Mm. You want to reset your mind. And a really powerful way of doing that is sound, because your hearing is your alarm system. So if you can relax your hearing, the rest of your body falls asleep. So it might be a spoken word book you've read before. It might be talk radio. It might be meditations or music you love, because emotional connection is really important. Safety, feel safe. Mm. Might be just giving your partner a cuddle. They might not like it, but that might help. So you might listen to music in bed. You might put some earbuds in and listen to music in bed. You might do like other night, I couldn't get to sleep. I went through A to Z. So I did A to Z of European football teams. You can pick anything you want. Something quite boring is probably preferable. And it gives your brain something to focus on rather than I'm not asleep. Another thing to remember, if you do wake up in the night when you are struggling, and as you said, you're a poor sleeper. Remember that actually, you might be a poor sleeper tonight, but what you are brilliant at, what you are world class at, is being tired, because you always get through tomorrow. So we beat ourselves up and say, oh, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? You're fine. You'll get through it.
Yeah.
And often it's that changing story from one of failure, I'm rubbish at sleeping, to one of success, I'm awesome at being tired. That for a lot of the people I work with, that is the moment where They take control of their sleep issues. We can't make ourselves go to sleep, but we can work on our mindset, we can work on our sleep environment, we can work on our behaviours, and that leads to better sleep.
I love that. I'm going to start doing that and definitely start listening to maybe some wave sounds or something. Thank you so much. That was so helpful and so insightful. Good luck with your sleep, and thank you for all the work that you do with people. I'm sure you're helping loads of people, like you just helped me in the matter of minutes. So it was really lovely to meet you today, James, aka the Sleep Geek. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I shall see you soon.
Sleep well.
Bye, love.
Bye-bye.
So, well, that's interesting, isn't it? I think it's definitely apparent that I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to sleep well tonight. I'm not going to sleep. And then you just get into a hole, don't you? And then you think it's going to affect your day after. But I'm going to change my way of thinking. And I can be productive even when I'm tired, guys. And so can you. So I want to talk to you about my exercise of the week, which I've been doing this week. And it is a Cossack squat. So do you know what that is? It is essentially a one-legged squat. So you set. Let's talk about how you do it. So you separate your legs nice and wide, and I would suggest starting with like a goblet squat position, so holding a weight just underneath your chin, like close to your chest. But it can be done with a barbell as well. But I would suggest doing that if you're a little bit more advanced. It can also be done body weight too if you're just starting off fresh. And it's essentially where you lower down into one leg, and then drive back up with that leg and then go onto the other side. So different to a lateral lunge where you bring the feet back together, your feet stay in place. And it's a great exercise, the Cossack squat, as we do sometimes tend to forget the lateral, well, it's actually called the frontal plane of movement, but it's moving from side to side. But it's a great one to attack your adductors, which is your inner thighs. Great, we all need that. Abductors, which is your glute med, your glute max, which is your big booty, and obviously the quads. It does all of those things. And it's a good one also for working on unilateral movement too. So we tend to work a lot of the time, like working both legs at the same time. But if you can do one leg at a time, you can kind of see where your imbalances is, and it's only going to lead to being more stronger in your bigger compound movements like your normal squats. As I said, beginners can do it with just holding a weight in front of you, or you can use it with a barbell. But it's a great one to build strength in the whole lower body, and it's a good one to add into your week this week. So get that in your plan, and I'll see you after the break.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
FUBAR Radio presents
What The Health with Gabby Allen.
Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know, what is so bad about dating sober?
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking, is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it, but for my confidence I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it. Like, I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one, and then I'd meet them like a few weeks later sober, and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common. What was going through my mind? I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him, and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip, but actually we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV, and I watched episode one. Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So you're hoping for four MPs in the general. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely the minimum at what we're
I don't want to be Piers Morgan here, but will you take out, I don't have £1,000, will you take a £100 bet with me that you'll get four MPs?
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place a bet on there would be pretty, you know, pretty horrendous.
We spoke before we had you on, we discussed discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke. And I said I would, because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral standing.
We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Yeah. Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Or vagina of cow.
Yeah. But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Access All Areas.
Every Wednesday.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
The Dating Show.
Because I don't see a problem watching porn if you're in a relationship.
No, I don't either. No. I don't see.
No, I don't see that as a massive deal. But if there is actually someone on the other end of that, is it then a bit dodgy?
Well, let's think. So say you're in bed with your beautiful partner and she gets out of bed at 2 a.m, leaves you in bed, you're laying there all cozy and happy. She goes into the bathroom and you hear her talking to another man and being sexually aroused over it. And I imagine masturbation. So if you'd walked in on her masturbating live with another guy, how would that make you feel?
Yeah, I'd be fucked off, actually, I think.
Every Friday, FUBAR Radio.
And welcome back to What the Health. This week, I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant, Adam Maxted, and professional wrestler, may I add. How are you? Can you hear me? Are you there? Oh, can't hear you. Have you got your... Is it muted? Is it on?
Right, there we go. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you now, yes. How are you, love?
Apologies. I'm all good. I'd literally just finished with clients, so I'm in a mad rush. I just got back in, so my bad for being late.
Don't worry, better late than never. That's what they all say. So let's go straight into it. I want to ask you some quick fire questions. Let the audience get to know you a bit more if they don't know you already. Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and yeah, quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. Fella. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah. Strong.
No, that's, do you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey. You know what I mean?
Okay, I love that.
That's actually how I would describe myself.
Okay, upper or lower body in the gym?
Lower. Love training legs.
He's an anomaly, guys. We don't normally get men that do
love
that either. What is your go-to cheat meal?
Pizza.
Yeah, what would you have on it?
Do you know what? I'm a pineapple on pizza guy. Pepperoni and pineapple with some chicken, maybe for a little bit extra protein so you feel less guilty.
Yeah. That's what I do. Yeah. I always add extra chicken to my pizza, but I can't have pineapple because I'm allergic to it. How sad is that?
But in your head, you're like, you know what? At least I'm getting some protein in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what I'll do is I'll fast the next morning and go train legs, and then I'm using the calories from the pizza for the leg day, so it's fine.
My guy, see? Okay, what is your workout anthem?
My workout anthem?
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably...
I'm intrigued about this one. Westlife!
When you're looking like that.
What? When you... Come on, sing it for us.
Like, you know what? Usually it's Chris Brown as well. Like, it's Chris Breezy, but then it might go to a little Westlife. Then it could go to Slipknot. Then it could go to George Michael.
Okay.
Like, I love all music, so it just kind of...
So that's surprising. I thought you was going to say, yeah, I listen to like Slipknot, those kind of things in the gym. And then I change about just towards the end of the session. I'll go to more pop music because I'm like, I've got it out of my system, you know. But when I'm like first getting into it, I need that bit of a kick up the arse. But it's not Westlife. So just
I'm
you for that.
I'm singing in between sets and people are just looking at me. And this is what I mean. Like, I'm just weird.
I love it. Okay, then. Well, talking about dancing. How did you first get into dancing in the wrestling ring?
I just loved wrestling, like growing up when I was younger, and never really thought it was a possibility to do it like as a career. But then I started seeing people from Ireland were getting signed to WWE, which is like the biggest wrestling company in the world. And it really opened my eyes that it was maybe a possibility. So I'd started the gym, I was getting in shape, and then I found two wrestling schools back in Ireland. And when I started, they were like, Adam, you have a lot of potential with how you look. You're a handsome chap, you're in decent shape. You could probably, you know, if you took this seriously, end up making it to America. And I've never looked back since. I've like been wrestling like 8 years now. And I just did three shows this last weekend. I was in Newcastle, Scotland, and Yeovil. I only got back yesterday. So I'm still trying to make it big in America. I've got an American visa in my passport now. So I feel like I'm in my prime, and you will see me on TV in America one day on Sky Sports Wrestling for a big wrestling company. So
that's amazing. Congratulations. Would you say that's your proudest fitness achievement then, getting your American visa and getting over there?
Yeah, like I'd say. And I also had a WWE tryout a couple of years ago. So they're looking at me. They're keeping an eye. It's kind of like football. You get scouted. Anyone that's doing well in wrestling, big companies start looking at you. So I know I'm on the radar. It's just all about, as you know about life and stuff, it's all about timing, and you can't rush stuff. And
yeah.
I was supposed to get signed by WWE a couple of years ago, and then it didn't happen. And I was a bit frustrated. But then you realize as time goes on why certain things don't happen at the same time. And you've got lessons to learn. And it actually made me stronger and more resilient, because I've had to look within myself and go, right, if I'm not going to be a pro wrestler like full time, what else can I be doing? Which is why I'm back into like the mindset coaching and the self-development and the PT and stuff again now. So
that's amazing. What's that saying? Whatever is meant for you won't pass you by.
100%.
That's what I'm living by these days.
Yeah, you have to. And like that can be difficult in the moment when you're like, why has this happened to me?
Yeah.
Why me? But then you've just got to suck it up and like have gratitude every day for what you do still have, and just believe that things will iron themselves out, and they usually do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what are, is there any misconceptions about wrestlers then? Because like, listen, the way you've just described yourself to me, like in the music that you listen to, like who you are as a person, like also how like you're, how mindful you are, that is not how somebody on paper would probably describe a wrestler. You know what I mean? Like we probably think that you'd walk in and be like, or like, you know, guns blazing. So is there any misconceptions that you would like to debunk about wrestling then?
Do you know what, like my wrestling character is like very cool, calm, collected, cocky, very sure of himself. Like I'll walk up to guys, girlfriends in the crowd and like flex in their face and be like, you know, she'll be thinking about me tonight, she wants to come home, like, do you know what I mean? It's, as a wrestler, any reaction is good. The worst thing, you don't want to be walking out in front of a live audience and get no reaction. That's the worst thing. So whether you're getting cheered or booed, it's good. And like, I just love being a bad guy. It's so much fun winding up people. And like most wrestling fans aren't really gym people. They don't really, you know. So when I walk out and I'm baby oiled and I'm in my tiny little spandex pants and I'm posing, and they're just like, look at this prick. Like, look at this bell end. It's so easy for them to hate me. And then I can play up on that. And I can,
yeah.
Like if I hit a guy a wrestling move, I'll start doing push-ups in the ring, and then I'll like pop my pecs and be all. And it's just, you're there to entertain.
Yeah, yeah. It's a performance. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But I think misconceptions are, you know, people would look at me and go, oh yeah, you do that fake stuff, and like wrestling is not fake.
I was gonna ask you, you know, wrestling is so there's like a sumo wrestling where they actually like, you know, like karate chop each other. But like the wrestling that you do you actually like fight and hurt each other, or is it just performance based?
No, like, well, my face is kind of cut from Sunday night. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Like, we still hit each other, but we're not trying to, like, physically, like, UFC, kill, like, knock someone out, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we still connect with a lot of moves, but it's more like a choreography.
Okay.
And go out and perform. So if you, like, the easiest way, Strictly Come Dancing, yeah, they have a full week where they go over their dancing and they go out and perform it at the weekend, yeah? I would turn up to a venue and have maybe 20 minutes sometimes to come up with a full wrestling match and then go out and perform it. So you have to have a really good memory. You're like an actor, you're like a stuntman, you're performing. So you've got to be athletic, you've got to be physically fit, because it's actually really demanding, all the moves that we do.
Yeah.
Carrying a grown man's body weight and like throwing him around. And do you know what I mean? So it definitely doesn't get the credit that I feel it deserves for people that don't really know about it. They just go, oh yeah, but it's all fake. And it's like, you try and get in a wrestling ring and take one of the moves.
You try and pick me up, mate. Go on.
Even like a body slam, for example. Like, let me give you a body slam and come back up and tell me that's fake.
Yeah, yeah. Question, have you ever considered doing anything like a bit more violent than like UFC or anything like that?
Yeah, but I don't want to, you know, I'm not a bad looking fella. I don't really want to have those cauliflower ears and the, do you know what I mean?
I'm partial to a cauliflower ear. I think it makes you look like you've been through something.
Okay, like...
Go and get a cauliflower,
you know. I love UFC. I love mixed martial arts. Like, I watch, like, all the time. And I've done a little bit of Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu, and it's more the respect thing. Like those classes, you'll have a 50-year-old man on top of you with his elbow in your throat and you can't do anything about it. Like, so it's the respect element. So I think just like people like Bruce Lee back in the day, like stuff like that, all about the mental resilience and like the dedication and all that. I love that side of it, but it's not something that I've got into, but I'm never say never.
Yeah.
You know, if I got asked to do like a boxing fight or a Misfits UFC fight, I'd be up for it because I'd love the training side of it as well. Like anything that takes me out of my comfort zone, I want
to
do it.
Yeah, I've been asked to do a Misfits fight and I literally said the same thing. I was like, I only have one face, and if my nose gets broke or something like that, then no. No thanks. Okay, so if you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
Any celebrity? I'm trying to think who would be.
Someone needs to like, be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Like not wrestlers, obviously.
Not wrestlers, just anyone.
Do you know what? Maybe I would take on one of the gladiators that's on TV at the moment.
Which one? I've interviewed a couple of them.
Maybe like the Matt Does Fitness guy.
Oh, no, not him. Okay.
Or maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus, really? You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match, yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair. Okay, so I have to ask you then. You recently was on Love Island All Stars. Did you love it or hate it, or how was that for you?
I enjoyed it more this time, if I'm honest, even though I was on the show less time, but I was just proud to get to go back on and show how old, like, not saying I'm old, I'm 32 now, but the level of maturity that I've developed since I was on it when I was 24, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a different guy now, I'm more confident in myself, like, I know who I am, and it was good to be able to go in and kind of show that, whereas years ago, because I was so focused on trying to make it to WWE, I didn't come across as my real self. I was very conscious about, like, things that I said or, like, stuff that I did.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really being like my authentic self. Whereas this time I was just like, fuck it. I'm gonna go in and just be me. And
100%
make me cool. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad I did it. Like it's helped open some doors again. And like it had been what, like 7 or 8 years since I did it. But
yeah,
I just, you know, I say to people now, it's like, I don't want my identity to be like, oh, you're Adam from Love Island, because I know that I'm so much more than that. Like you as well. Like you've got your fitness, your smash. Like you don't want to just be labeled for the rest of your life as someone that just did a reality TV show. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think some people go on the show and then they've got to try and hold on to that forever because it's all they have, or they try and keep themselves in the public eye doing certain things or going to events because it'll keep them out there. Whereas, like, I'm a guy, I want to be known as, you know, Adam, the mindset coach, the trainer.
Yeah,
the
100%.
That also did Love Island, not just Adam that did Love Island. He also does this stuff, drumming.
Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm so grateful that I was given the platform. And but I was the same as you. Like, I feel like I've changed so much since I did the show, like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, whenever it was now. And I mean, I was 25 when I went on. I'm also 32 and I'm a completely different person. Like, I've done all of these amazing like things. Like, I've got my own radio show now. And, you know, it's, and that is because I went on Love Island, but it doesn't like, that doesn't
define
me. Yeah. As who I am. I'm Gabby Allen that did Love Island, but now she's got her own like health and wellness radio show and does fitness, you know, things like that. So I completely feel that, but I think you came across really well on it. So that's good. So you was with Arabella on there, right?
Yeah.
How's that?
No, do you know what? Everyone, as you know, when you come out of the show, the fans want to know what's happening, why he's not seeing each other. Like, we were never boyfriend and girlfriend, ever. Like, I knew the girl, like, a week. But all the fans are like, oh, when are you guys seeing each other? Like, and I'm like, well, we're not even, like, official. We never became official, so, like...
And also, you have to bear in mind that, like, when you're in there, like... You kind of have no choice, right? Like, you know, if you're coupled up with somebody and there's like everyone else is coupled up, they, you know, if that's the person that you have to just try and make it work whilst you're in there, but you might have not actually been that well suited when you came out.
I can't fake stuff. So like the first time I was on it, I was coupled up with a couple of people like on season two, and it was friend zoned instantly because I just felt nothing there. Whereas with Arabella, like there honestly there was chemistry there. We did get on really well. Like I did like her. Obviously she's a stunning woman, but when we got on the outside, for me personally, she had just come out of a really high-profile relationship before she went in, and I don't think she got the time to process that.
Right.
So there was a bit of moments where I knew she was maybe a little bit caught up on her ex.
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm at a stage now in my life where I'm not going to be an option for someone. I'm going to be someone's choice. You either want to be with me or you don't.
Damn right.
Like, And I, if not, I'm happy by myself. I'm good. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm doing my stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I basically just said, you're like, I'm not going to second guess myself whether you want to be with me or you want to pursue this. Like, if there's a hint of you that maybe wants to go back with your ex or still wants to maybe see what, if that door's still open, like, I want that for you because you obviously like the guy, fair enough, but I'm just not going to wait around.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And so that, and there's no hard feelings. Like, there was, like, we knew each other a week. We got on really good. We had that experience together. And, like, I've said to her, like, I wish her all the best and I hope she's doing good. And,
yeah, you know, good
it
for you.
It is, but yeah. it's just life. And I think, again, people just, you know, they want the fairy tale endings.
Yeah, of course.
To stay together, but it's, you know.
It's Love Island. I mean, there's literally, there's a handful of people that get married and have kids, but the rest of us, we're just cracking on with life. Question. You know, you said, you mentioned before about Strictly and that, you know, because you are a wrestler and you can do all your choreography. Would you do some other shows like Strictly or what's the ice one? What's it called?
Dancing on Ice.
There we go. Thanks.
Yeah, like I would do stuff like that, 100%. Personally, I'd love to do SAS, Who Dares Wins.
Me too. Oh my God, how sick would that be?
Or The Challenge. Like, I want to do stuff. That's
I've done The Challenge. It is hell.
But I want to do stuff like
you'd
that.
Be amazing on it, because like I think the lads that are like you that like literally just throw themselves into it, but I've never really done any like adrenaline sports, and I would have considered myself competitive, you know. I've done sports, but I've not done, like, I was hanging off a frigging helicopter over the Icelandic sea fighting people on a frigging netball, and that to me, that's not fun to me. So there was that, and then also you're in a house with like loads of people that you haven't met before. It's like Big Brother, right? And they're all against each other. It's the mental work that it takes is even harder than it takes to do the physical stuff. So if you think that you've got that in your locker, then absolutely, I'll message the person now being like, get Adam on the show.
Do you know what? I probably would struggle more in the house, like you're saying, because I'm not like a two-faced person, or I'm not.
It's hard.
See when there's a load of egos in a room, I am comfortable in who I am, but I don't need to step up to your level to try and prove that I'm the alpha male, do you know what I mean? I'll just show you in other ways. Like, what's that? Confidence is quiet, insecurities are loud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when there's all these people, like, and it could be even like out in a bar, in a restaurant, when I see lads that are trying to be over the top and being loud to get the attention, I'm just like, I ain't going to try and compete with you. Like, I know who I am. I know I've got my people, or I know, you know, which group is going to be attracted to me or wants to hang out with me. I'm not going to try and go, okay, there's a couple of alphas over there. I better try and be something that I'm not to try and get up to their level. I'm just like, I'm going to do me. So I'd probably struggle more in the house, in that environment, than actually the physical challenges. But I'm just a very chill guy in general. I'm just like, man, you're just embarrassing yourself. Sit down.
Well, if you won the challenges, you would have the higher, like, you know, stand anyway, because everyone that wins the challenges, you normally are, what's the word? Like, you don't have to do eliminations and stuff. So basically, you just have to go in and just have to win everything. So then you don't have to deal with all the ag of everybody else. I love how your outlook on life, I think that's obviously come with experience, and you know, you've done lots of things, and also the mindset, the mindfulness that you are presenting is amazing. And I think it's really important for men to like look at you and like see, because I don't meet a lot of men like you that have that positive outlook and, you know, are so confident within themselves without it becoming arrogance or and, you know, presenting itself like that. How have you got here, and what would you advise anybody getting into the fitness space or any journey that they're currently trying to pursue?
You know, I initially got into the gym and stuff through being bullied growing up, like insecure, skinny kid. I remember getting beat up one night by these two guys, and I didn't even fight back because I just felt so like vulnerable. I didn't even try and protect myself. And so I remember after that being like, do you know what? I don't want to go through that feeling again. I don't want to feel that helpless. So like, my mom's a personal trainer. I've always had like a fitness background.
Amazing.
But I remember going, right, okay, I need to build myself up. So getting big and becoming a big guy has almost been like a shield of armor for me. So like, anywhere I go now, I know that I'm a big guy, right? I know guys would probably think twice about starting a fight or messing with me. Now, don't get me wrong, if I'm in a bar or a nightclub and there's a group of lads and they've had a few drinks, they'll back themselves. Do you know what I mean? People change when they drink. But from day-to-day life, no one has messed with me since I got in shape. So it's always been like a pain point for me. I've been like, you know what? I need to stay big. Like, I love the gym now. Obviously, it's became a lifestyle, but that was my pain point initially. And I just think, like, you know, guys especially, I think there's more pressure on men in this day and age now to, you know, have a good body, to look good, to have a lot of money in the bank to be successful. Otherwise, certain women aren't going to give them the time of day. And like, I've spent a lot of time in Marbella living over there, and I've seen where guys think they need to come to a beach club and splash a load of cash. Otherwise, girls are going to sleep with them or spend time with them. And like, it's just sending out the wrong message of like, and you know, even Love Island, the show itself, like, as you know, like, you line up and you stand up for whoever you find attractive. So it's teaching the younger generation that you should really base if someone's, you know, a good person or nice on how they look. And it's like, someone could be a phenomenal looking person, a really, you know, beautiful woman, a good looking guy. But if they're not a good person inside and they don't have good values and they don't have good morals, then that actually makes them really unattractive. So I think just work on yourself first. Try and get to a place where you're comfortable in your own skin. You know, find your circle, find your people. Don't feel like you need to change who you are around different people to try and fit in, because, you know, I've been guilty of that in the past. Even when working in Marbella, I've done things that, like, I'm not proud of because I felt like I needed to fit in with the crowd and, like, come across a certain way. And now I think it's, again, it's something that comes as you get older. You kind of get rid of the driftwood and you kind of figure things out as you grow into yourself. And it's something that comes with age. But I just think for guys especially, it's like, just, you know, and women, work on yourself constantly. And, you know, with the whole relationship side of things, so many people have to be in a relationship. They go from one relationship to the next because they can't just be alone. They don't want to be alone because they can't handle it. Or maybe that's when, you know, their insecurities kick in. Or, and it's like, just work on yourself, get comfortable by yourself.
Yeah.
Be proud of who you are. And, you know, when the right person comes along, like, hopefully you'll be in a better place from it. And yes, you need to go through certain situations and certain relationships to kind of open your eyes to what you want and what you don't want, or what you've got.
Yeah, of course.
What to look, what red flags to look out for in the future, what behavior traits, but also maybe what you maybe need to work on.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like, essentially, know your worth, but also know what you bring to the table. I love that from you. Thank you so much for joining us today, my love. It's been amazing talking to you. Good luck with everything. I hope you get to where you want to be in America. I'm sure you will. And yeah, maybe I'll meet you one day.
Thanks.
Have a great rest
of
your day. See you,
Thank you
very
much.
Okay, coming up after this, I'll be joined by Becky XL, who's a food content creator. See you then.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Hey!
FUBAR Radio presents.
Access all areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years.
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running round.
Except you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be
26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing out Jeremy Corbyn. What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. The office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it was really necessary for them to come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but yeah, I genuinely do. But I do think that it's timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you cast as a friend. Yeah, are you you know, someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, you know, isn't that a bit weird?
Think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of friend. You can be friends with someone. You can't be, like, best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
And we are back. Joining me now is Becky XL. Gluten recipes, right? Food content creator.
Well, gluten-free recipes.
Gluten-free recipe content creator. Hello, my love. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So, you have just released a book.
I have.
And you just heard what? I was like, save it. Tell me now.
I've heard it's a number one bestseller. I know.
That is amazing.
I'm still in shock. I found out on the train on the way here and I'm just like...
Yeah, baby.
I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to say yet, well, but I've said it now.
So we've got an exclusive, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
So, fine. So you do gluten-free recipes because you have IBS?
So I did gluten-free recipes. So it was about 15 years ago. I've been gluten-free 15 years.
Wow.
I started being gluten-free because I was at uni in my first year. I was going out, you know, eating, drinking lots, eating all that stuff afterwards. And, you know, you feel crap after you drink. But then I seemed to just feel incredibly, like, so much worse. Like, I'd be in bed for days and I just wouldn't be able to get up. So I went to the doctors and they said, try removing gluten from your diet. So I did. That was slightly the wrong thing to do. Doctors should know best. But supposedly what was supposed to happen is they were supposed to make me continue eating gluten, test me for certain things like celiac disease, and then remove it from my diet. But it all went a bit pear-shaped. But ultimately, I feel so much better not eating gluten. And right. So, yeah, ever since then.
Why was it the wrong thing to do? Because is it the FODMAP diet that you should follow first to see what it is?
So ultimately, if you want to be tested for celiac disease, which is like an autoimmune thing, so it has a lot more sort of complications and stuff, to be tested, you have to have gluten in your body. So if you take gluten out early, then you can't properly be tested. Right, so it was just the right old pain. And
okay. And the gluten that you were eating was like, is like in the alcohol? Was it beer that you were drinking?
In beer, and then obviously all the
the fried food.
That. So
the transition, so you didn't really have a transition then to gluten-free lifestyle. It was kind of just a 100-0 to 100.
It was all at once. And it's the worst thing in the world. And you hear so many people say this, like who are suddenly told, because, you know, one day you're eating pizza, and then the next you're told, oh, sorry, you can't have that anymore. And it's just like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, what's your favourite food?
Pizza.
Pizza, exactly. And then you're suddenly told, oh, sorry, I can't have that. And back then, there was nothing. So
I was going to say, so 15 years ago, there's loads more option now on menus, gluten-free options. Yeah. But 15 years ago, it was like lettuce.
Oh, my God. it was the worst. And even in shops, like, they sold, like, one, like, gluten-free bread. But it would be, like, something that almost resembled, like, a weapon. It was, like... honestly, it would be more like a brick that you'd want to throw at someone. And because it tasted like crap.
So what did you eat then?
It was basically, like, you just ate everything you did before, but then removed loads of stuff. So you just had really sad meals. So if you went to, like, a restaurant and wanted a burger, you'd just have, like... the burger, and you might not even be able to have the chips because they were cooked in the fried stuff. So it was just really sad.
Did you find that you did you feel healthier straight away though, or did you feel
it took time? Right. It took a bit of time, but I definitely felt better. But I would say whilst I felt better physically, like mentally I felt probably worse because I was just missing out.
Yeah, because you felt restricted.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I was at uni and I actually dropped out in my first year. And one of the reasons I dropped out was just because I'd gone from hanging out with all my friends there to like not really hanging out, and they didn't really get it. And they were just like, oh, they didn't invite me out, or I just didn't feel well enough. So it was like,
that's shit.
It was really crap. Yeah. And it just
But look at you now, girl. Number one bestseller.
That's the thing. You just got to go with it. Go with the flow. I think the things that do best in life are we find a problem and we try and solve it. So that's kind of what I've done, and it's...
Yeah, you've smashed it. Well done.
Thank you.
So do you think gluten intolerance then, you said that the doctor kind of advised you maybe wrongly. Do you think it's not taken as seriously as it should be?
It definitely has like this bad perception. I think it's because... it's been quite a fad sort of thing. People have thought of it a bit like a fad, like people just take bread out of their diet and this and that. And so people don't realise the severity and how serious it is and how there's so many different things. So there's a gluten intolerance, there's celiac disease, there's all these medical conditions and reasons why. And there are things that if you actually eat gluten when you have celiac disease, for instance, your body is starting to like destroy its insides and it attacks the immune system. So I don't think people...
That's scary.
That is scary.
Yeah.
And it's like...
You don't have that though, right?
I might have that, but I never knew because I didn't get tested properly. So that's why the doctor should have told me to do it the right way around.
Okay.
So I could have that and I'll never know now because I'm not prepared to try...
I was going to say...
I'm not putting gluten in my body again.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So what happens to the body when you consume it?
So for me, symptom-wise, mine is sort of like bloating... you know, all the gut things that you don't want to have. But then also I get really extremely tired, like exhausted. So like I don't think I've bet, you know, obviously sometimes you get glutened and you go to a restaurant and someone gives
you the glutened.
Oh, honestly, it's the worst thing in the world, but it can make me really, really, really sick. Mm. And there's loads of different symptoms that people get.
I suppose I've got a friend who, he's actually been in here before, he's got Crohn's.
Uh-huh.
And he said that like, because I've talked to him about, he's a nutritionist, but I don't think Crohn's has got anything to do with gluten, has it?
I think some people...
That's how I was just like...
No, so I think some people do go gluten-free and it helps their Crohn's, right, but you don't have to.
Okay, fine. So I remember talking to him about a gluten-free diet or something, and I remember him saying something like, everyone has some sort of intolerance to gluten in some form. Like, whether it means that you just... You'll eat pasta and it'll make you feel like crap for maybe a day or so. Or some people like have it on the end of the spectrum where they'll eat pasta and it'll literally bedridden bedridden them. You know what I mean? Make them feel like shit.
No, I think with all foods, we all have different levels of like tolerances. Like I struggle with other things as well. Like I can't eat onion and garlic, which is like, honestly, you'd think gluten was bad, but not being able to eat onion and garlic is like the worst thing in the world.
Garlic, onion, I can, like, I would be able to give, but garlic. Garlic, that's
it's
so sad.
Because you start every meal with it. When you cook it, you chop some garlic. So I think loads of people have different levels of tolerance, but they can change and stuff. But it's, you know, with a gluten intolerance, it might get better, it might get worse. Some people have different things. But then with celiac disease, it's like this thing that you have literally for life.
Yeah.
It will never change.
So in your book, do you not put any garlic in there?
No, there's no garlic.
The only recipes that you eat.
Yeah. So there's no garlic, no onion. I can use garlic oil. So garlic infused oil, because it's some science-y. I don't even know, but I can use that and it doesn't make my tummy sore. So, yeah.
So you mentioned before about this brick.
Yes.
The brick bread.
The brick bread.
I have tried in my past. I've tried everything. I've tried bloody juice diets. I've tried gluten-free diets.
We've
all been there. So I have once tried a gluten-free diet and I was buying from the Free From aisle thing. And this was also when I was a student and I was like, why is everything so expensive?
Oh my God.
But I'm now not a student and I'm still like, why is everything so expensive? Why is it so expensive, all the gluten-free stuff?
I wish I knew the complete answer, but it's ridiculous. Like, bread can be like £3.50, £4 for a loaf of bread, and it's not even, I shouldn't say this, but it's not even that nice.
No, it's not. It tastes like shit.
It's really poor. I think the reason is probably just the ingredients supposedly cost more, but I also think that supermarkets and stuff just whack a bit of extra price on it.
Well, I think it's so sad because, like, you didn't choose to have an intolerance to gluten.
No.
So why should you be punished to...
This is the problem, and this is the thing, that when someone, let's say, has celiac disease, there can be multiple people in a family that have it. And, you know, if you've got... what I've heard that's really sad is that someone could have kids that can't have gluten and they can't really afford much, so they'll spend money on like their kids and stuff, and then they won't eat and stuff, and that, you know, it's awful. I've heard some awful stories of people really struggling to make ends meet just because, you know, gluten-free food costs so expensive and they'll put their kids first. It's awful.
That is horrendous.
That says it all, and I don't think people realise, and I don't think the people who make all these foods and stuff realize how much, like,
it's like a marketing tool.
And
not actually thinking about who's consuming
it. And it's like, you know, someone like me, I can just be like, right, I'm not going to eat breads because I can't afford it. But for a kid, you know, you have it in your lunchbox and stuff, and you want to be able to eat what your friends are eating and stuff, and it's just really sad, you know.
So I have a question then. You set up your Instagram account to help other people with gluten-free, and then is that what all led on to, like, you've got like nearly 500,000 followers, right? That's amazing.
Honestly, it's gone mad. But for me, I've been doing it 10 years. So I've been doing it quite a long time. So some people seem to grow really, really fast, whereas I've been sort of plodding along and trying to grow. But
mate, give yourself some credit. 500,000 followers is so good. You've just released an amazing book.
That's my sixth book as well.
Oh, your sixth book.
I guess the fact that it's grown so much just shows how many people there are out there who have to follow a gluten-free diet. And everyone, like... everyone knows someone who's gluten-free. So we need to make sure that recipes and stuff are accessible for people. And I don't just talk about the recipes and do that, but I just try and make people feel normal, because you don't want to be the one that's like left out in a group because you can't eat something.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like it's important to do all that. And that's kind of what I've created, like this really, hopefully, nice community where people all just get on and can talk to people and be like, oh, actually, I'm not the only one who's like this.
And also, the book now is air fryer. So that's what I saw straight away. Because honestly, I don't know what we did before air fryers. I feel like everyone's got one these days. So that would mean, even though I'm not gluten-free, I would want to use that book, because I'm like, it gives me ideas as well.
And honestly, I love my air fryer, and I've had one for like 4 years, and I just got so obsessed with it that I thought, why not write a book? But like you say, the book is for everyone. Literally anyone could cook the recipes from it. It wouldn't make any difference. Like, all my recipes... you wouldn't know that they were gluten-free. They don't taste like weird, like, oh, that doesn't taste as nice. It's like the ultimate aim is that everything tastes just as good. Like, my boyfriend is the one who sort of, he's not gluten-free, but he's my like chief taste tester.
I love it.
And if he doesn't like it, he's proper honest, like proper honest. If he says, oh, you know, that it tastes all right, but it doesn't taste as good as like what you could have, then it doesn't go in. Like, it has to be that top, that level, so that everyone can enjoy it together.
Yeah, of course. And what is the favourite recipe out of there then?
Ooh, I think I do loads and loads of fakeaways because gluten-free people can't often go and get a takeaway. Mm. So maybe my chicken zinger burger.
Oh, I love a chicken zinger burger.
And it's done in the air fryer. So when you think about it, it's not got all that. It's not deep fried, but it's like crispy chicken burger and stuff. And that's what I like about the air fryer is that you can make stuff all crispy and battered and stuff, but it's not like plunged into oil and really bad for your gut.
That's crazy, isn't it? Like, who came up with this idea?
Whoever it is, must be a millionaire. Billionaire.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think that we should all incorporate some sort of gluten-free into our diet? Or for somebody, what advice would you give somebody that is trying to adopt a gluten-free diet?
Well, I'd say firstly, if you think that it might help you because maybe you are getting bloated or you have a certain symptom or something, definitely, like I said, don't give up straight away because you should go to the doctors, get tested, and then you can make a decision whether you actually need to or maybe you don't need to but you want to try it. Then that's up to you. Then it's your choice. I don't think everyone needs to, but I'd say that there's loads of great food that is like naturally gluten-free and stuff that tastes great. And you don't need to, every meal doesn't need to be like with loads of bread and stuff like that. There's loads of great things out there otherwise. So
do your recipes in the book incorporate like foods that everybody can get their hands on then?
Yeah, all supermarket stuff. So I don't, like, I had to come up with the recipes. I'm not going to go and make some like weird complicated stuff that I can't find or that cost tons to test.
Yeah.
So everything is just stuff you can get in the supermarket, really easy. And, you know, I'm not a trained chef in any way. I just started doing it because I was fed up of not being able to eat food. So
yeah. And that's amazing. And she's a sixth book. That is incredible. Like, you should give yourself a massive pat on the back because that is six huge achievements.
That's the thing I never do. I think none of us do. We should. We should always remember every single day how much,
how far you've gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so easy to just forget that and just keep going. But yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to go and get my hands on it. Explain what it is. What's the title?
This is a gluten-free air fryer.
By Becky Excel. And it's a very colourful, beautiful
book
as well.
It's colourful and it's just... It's for everyone. And on the front, it says here, Becky Excel is the queen of gluten-free. And the quote is from Nigella Lawson.
Oh, my God, you've made it.
Yes, I know.
That's amazing.
That's made my day.
Amazing. Well, on that note, we are going to come to an end here. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm definitely going to be trying your recipes. Good luck with everything. I mean, you've already hit the jackpot already. But yeah, I will speak to you very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Amazing. Everybody needs to go and get their hands on that book. It is not only going to look beautiful on yourself because it's so colourful, but the recipes look banging. I love my air fryer. I honestly don't know what I would do without it. So a couple of listener questions before we go on our merry way today. These hours go so quickly, don't they? So Flair asks, I want to start doing squats in the gym, but I'm scared of hurting myself. Do I need them and how do I do them safely? First of all, Flair, don't be scared because, you know, you want to do them because I assume you want to get stronger. You want to challenge yourself. You just have to make sure that you're doing them properly. You know, you want to make sure that your form and technique is on point. So always start with either body weight or lightweight first. I would always suggest starting with a dumbbell. You know, we spoke about goblet position before with our Cossacks, but it's the same for a squat too. Or you can, if you are a little bit more advanced, just go with the barbell to start off with. But the thing is with barbells, it is a bit more restrictive and you just want to make sure. I would suggest also filming yourself so you can check your form and like see what you need to change. And there's loads you can do with them. You could do front squats, back squats, heel raise squats, sumo squats. There's loads you can do. But I think first and foremost, you just need to nail the back squat as that is your staple fundamental squat movement. And then once you've nailed that down, work with time under tension, work with, you know, your long enough rest periods to watch your video back and see, okay, how can I change my form a little bit here? But don't be scared of it. Just go and throw yourself into it. Allow yourself enough time to really trial and error. And good luck. Squats are amazing and they're such a great full lower body exercise. And then last one we have is Daisy asks, should I be warming up before I lift weights? The short answer, Daisy, is yes. Of course you should be warming up before you lift weights. You should be warming up before you do any sort of exercise. And that is to prevent injury, full stop. Obviously, we don't want to be wasting or like, you know, exerting all your energy that you're going to be using for your weightlifting. However, just getting the blood to those joints, you know, getting some mobility in there, just basically priming the body for the savagery you're about to put it through is essential in order to be optimal in your workouts, but also, as I said, to prevent injury. So I hope that answers your questions for today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great show. If you didn't manage to send in, or if I didn't answer your questions, send them in, drop them into our Instagram at What The Health Show on Instagram. But until next week, I hope you have a great one and happy lifting. Goodbye.